Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're continuing our series on prayer. And I hope that tonight will be a blessing to you. Of course, next week being Thanksgiving, I'm going to take just a little break in the study for a special service next Wednesday, and then we'll jump right back into it. I don't know. I'm guessing this is probably, and I honestly did not count, did not look, but this is probably lesson number 8, 9, 10, something like that on prayer. We've been through quite a few of them, but I think tonight will, if you're interested in a different level of Christianity, you say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I don't care how long you've been saved, whether you've been saved a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, 10 decades. Doesn't matter to me. If you want a different level of relationship with God and answer to prayer, tonight will help you. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read the first 11 verses together. Ready? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I wish I could get you to enjoy being with your God. If I, as your pastor, could get you to enjoy being with your God, I think I could die happy and successful. Oh, how I desire for you to trust God enough to walk with him. I mean that. I wish you knew how wonderful it is to walk with God. I long for you to want God more than you want to walk with him. I long for him to give you what you've not even asked him to give you yet. I want the people that I love most to have a relationship with the God that I love more. I long for you to love him, talk with him, and obey him. Then, while you're with him, you ask him what you want. By the way, that's probably the best definition of prayer you'll ever get. You walk with God, you talk with God, you spend time with him, and then while you're with him, you say, oh, by the way, God, what do you think about me having such and such? Would you help so and so with such and such? That's what prayer really is all about. If God never answered you again, guess what? He's already done enough for you. You know, if God never answered one of your prayers from this point on, God's done enough for you not to complain. You realize that God has given you enough in the Word of God. He's given you enough in everyday life that if God never answered another one of your prayers, what right do you have to put him on trial for? Tonight I want to teach you a truth that will totally change your life. Let me ask you a question. Do you want God to answer prayer your way or his way? I hear people say, oh, I pray, I pray, I pray, and God doesn't give me what I want. Did you ever ask God for what he wants for you? See, there's two different types of prayer. There's praying to get what you want, and there's prayer to get what God wants for you. I don't know about you, but there are times where there are things that I have wanted that after I got them, they didn't want them. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
There's been times that my children wanted something. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't sinful. I'd say, you don't want that. Oh, yeah, I do, Dad. Dad, I want that. No, I don't think you really want that. Oh, I want it real bad. Okay, you can spend your money on it, but I'm telling you, you don't want it. But I want it, Dad. And about 2 days later, they said, Dad, why'd you let me buy that? Because you wanted it. I told you, you didn't want it as bad as you thought you wanted it. See, Dad knew a little bit more about what they wanted than what they knew they wanted. But they wanted it so bad, they thought they would not live without it. I learned a long time ago that God knows more and wants for me than I can even know how to ask for. I learned a lot about working for leaders. I was an assistant pastor for 24 years. I have been privileged to work with just unbelievable men in the last quarter century. And I wrote this statement down, and it's not a stretch in any sense of the word. I've had to ask tens of thousands of questions to my leaders. And that's no lie. I mean, tens of thousands. I've learned that there are three ways to ask questions. And I can ask about the same thing, but I can ask the same question three different ways and get three different answers. Let me show you what I mean. You have often, I've asked my leaders, may I have permission to do such and such? Is it okay if I do this? Guess what? As long as it's not wrong, as long as it's not against the rules or policy, most leaders will say, sure. It may not be what the leader wants, but you didn't ask him what he wanted. You asked for permission. There are things you'll ask God, and he'll grant his permission. It may not be what he wants. But because it's not wrong, it's not sinful, God may allow you to have it because it's not wrong, it's not sinful. But it may not be best. Boy, that's good.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, I think that you ought to ask permission. It's not a bad thing. Usually, I only ask permission when it's a right-wrong situation. I'm not one that just asks for permission. Okay? Then, way number two. How do you want a certain thing done? I would ask my leaders often, look, you've given me this project. How do you want it done? How do you want me to do this? I honestly don't know how you want it done. Oh, I could do it, and I've got this plan or this plan or this plan. How do you think I should do a certain thing? You know, this is a good way to get your leader to help you get it done. Can I show you something? Those of you that work out in the world, that's a wonderful way to ask leaders that you work for how to get things done. It's better than, can I do this? Yeah, and if it doesn't work out, guess who's swinging for it? When you say, how do you want this done? Now, there have been times people get lazy with that statement, and a good leader will say, that's for you to figure out. That's why I hired you. Well, then you're at a whole different level. I always took two or three different plans to the leader and said, I've thought of two or three different ways. Which of these is the best? Would you tell me which way that you want it done? Sometimes it was this way, sometimes that way, or sometimes that way. Sometimes it was a combination, and sometimes none of the three. Say why? Because I didn't think real well. But at least I had something. So you can ask for permission. You can ask for how they think you should do something. And number three, I think this is the highest level of asking questions. How would you do this if you were me? Ooh. Most of us aren't humble enough to ask that question, are we? Asking how the leader would do something requires you to go up to where they are, not bring them down to where you are at. You are learning to think like your leader when you ask them how they would do something. Did you notice in Philippians 2, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." And the Bible said, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." You know why? Because he asked the Father how he wanted things done. He was doing it exactly the way God the Father would do it. And took upon himself the form of a servant. He said, "I'm not going to be arrogant about it, but I'm going to ask him how he did it." I was questioned by a pastor distantly from here this week. He said, "Brother Bush, you worked for Brother Hiles." I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "How would he have done thus and so?" I said, "This is exactly how he would do it." He said, "You didn't hesitate." I said, "I've watched him make that decision probably 30 times. I said, "I don't have to hesitate." He said, "You studied him." He said, "That reminds me of a certain chapter in one of his books." I said, "Yes, sir, it's on page so-and-so." He said, "You already know." I said, "I know, but I've watched him personally make the decision over and over and over again." And I began to teach him what I'm teaching you tonight. Let me show you what I mean. I sat in a staff meeting with Brother Hiles one night. There was about dozen, 14 men in the room with us, the assistant pastors and a couple other fellas. I was in there one night, and I asked a question to Brother Hiles. Honestly, I don't remember what it was. But I do remember the type of question I asked. I said, "Preacher," I said, "I've got this. Can we do thus and so?" And he said, "Of course you can." And he just kind of hesitated. And I said, "I'm not really wanting just your permission." You had to know Brother Hiles. He got that look on his face, Brother Ed. And he said, "What are you asking?" I said, "I'm asking, how would you do it? I'm not just asking, can I do it? I'm asking, how would you do it?" He said, "Oh, Craig, I'm 73, 74 years old. I'm stuck in my ways." He said, "I wouldn't advise you to do it my way. I think you ought to do it this way." I said, "Thank you, sir." I said, "But you didn't answer my question." He kind of rolled his eyes back a little bit. His eyebrows went up. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Thank you for telling me how you think I should do it, but how would you do it?" "Oh, you don't need to know that, Brother Bush." He said, "I'm just too old and set in my ways." I said, "Could you just tell me?" He said, "Well, I'd do it this way." And he told me. He said, "Now, I don't think you should have to do it that way. That's not what I'm telling you." I said, "I know. But I'd like to do it your way because you've proven that it works." Guess what I did? I did it the way he would do it. He gave me permission. Then he told me how he thought I should do it. I had to pull it out of him how he would do it. Say why? That's the kind of fella he was. He wasn't real pushy. You had to draw it out of him. The Bible talks in Proverbs about drawing wisdom out of a wise man. You had to pull it out of him. But I found out in that area how he would do a certain thing. Wow. That put me at a whole different plane. Whole different level. Were the other two acceptable? Yeah. But when he found out I did it the way he would do it, he sure was happy. He pulled me aside one day and said, "Craig, you didn't have to do it that way." I said, "I know I didn't. But why change on what works?" He said, "I'm old and stuck to my ways." I said, "Good. Then someday I'll be old and stuck in your ways." I said, "That doesn't bother me." I said, I'm trying to figure out how you think. He just grinned, slapped me upside the back of the head, and kept on walking. Amen. Everything was okay. Do you know you can approach God the same way? I'm going to transition from how we deal with our leaders to realizing God is our leader. And there are times you can ask God for permission to do something. And as long as it's not sinful, He'll grant it. And He might be saying, that's not what I'd do. I don't even think you ought to do that. That's really not what you want. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I don't think so. I'm going to tell him myself. I don't think I've ever even come to grips with this publicly. My dad, of course, he's here tonight. My dad, when he turned about 13, say, son, you want to drive when you're 16? Oh, yeah, buddy. He said, good, you better start working so you can pay for your own car. Because you're going to buy your own car, your own insurance, and pay your own gas. You better start getting busy. I mowed yards for $5 a yard. And I thought I was in tall cotton, man. I thought that was big stuff. I shoveled snow, not like the snow you get here. I'm talking about snow in Ohio, you know, the southern end of the snow belt. Lake effect snow. You've never shoveled snow till you've shoveled lake effect snow. Every shovelful weighs about 30 pounds. I'd go out, my mom and dad will tell you, I'd go out and shovel 2-3 driveways before I'd leave for school in the morning. And then come home and work till I couldn't stand up anymore and then do homework. Say why? Because I had a car in mind, my first car. Remember that stupid old blue Mercury I bought, 1966 Mercury Comet. My dad said, I don't think you ought to buy that thing. Oh yeah, Dad, it's fine. It wasn't fine. 289, man, that thing was fast. You say, how fast? I'm not allowed to tell you. But it would go. Yeah, buddy. I did not wreck it. But every time you stepped on the brake, you couldn't hardly hold down on the steering wheel because it pulled to the right-hand side. Like this. And it kept getting, at first it was just like this. You know, I'm thinking, okay, it's got a brake hanging or something. Brakes were fine. I didn't know this, nor did anybody else. But the 66 Comet was one of the first cars with a unibody on it. That unibody on the passenger front side had come apart. One day we jacked up that car and the whole front end of the car went and fell off. We had to weld a couple pieces of angle iron on that thing to hold it together. He said, told you you shouldn't spend all your money on that car. I'm thinking, oh God, I've had that thing in triple digits. It's a wonder I didn't die. I sold it. I told the guy, look, it's junk. He said, I want the parts. He said, I want the engine and stuff. I said, I think I would tow it if I were you. Oh, no, 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 I'll drive it. The guy bought the car, got it 3 blocks from my house, and the whole thing snapped. Boom, it was gone. He had to come back to our house to make a phone call to get somebody to get the car. I said, I told you. He said, I know. He said, I tried to get it there. It didn't work. Wait a minute. My dad taught me a valuable lesson. I should have listened. I should have said, okay, but I want a car so bad and I can afford that one. He was saying, I don't think you should have bought that one. I just now watched him back there shaking his head when I talked about it. It's the first time he and I have even thought about it together since that day, and that was years ago. That was 30 years ago. Taking me 30 years to admit I didn't want that car as bad as I thought I wanted it. Did I have permission? Yep. Was it the way he'd have done it? Nope. And I found out why. You know, there are times that we ask God for permission because we want something. There are times we go to God and say, God, how would you tell me to do this? And we go to the Bible and think we found out the way to do it. But do you realize you can ask God how He wants something? And how He would do something? Let me ask you a question. Do you only want God to answer your prayers the way you want them answered? Do you only want God to answer the way you want it answered? And anything less than that isn't good. My dad answered my request. Dad, can I buy the car? You sure? Mm-hmm. Yep. You're going to put a lot of money in it. Oh, no, it'll be okay, Dad. Listen to the guy that has mechanical ability, not the one that doesn't know which end the wheel goes on. I had permission, but guess what? I wanted it answered my way. If I'd have listened to the way the guy that knew what he was talking about, I wouldn't have gone through what I went through. God may even try to prompt you to not just get permission. Oh, man, I remember some of those. I'd work, one of the men I worked for, he'd say, Brother Bush, you sure? No, I'm sure. You sure? Oh, I'm sure. I didn't learn, you know, from the time I was 16 on. You know, slow freight every once in a while. I've learned what when somebody above me says, are you sure? I say, no. Even if I am, they're not. Time to go back and look at this thing from a different angle. My pride's not so big anymore that I can't say, I thought it was. Boy, that's good stuff. Let me give you, three or four statements here. I'll be done. Number one, if we only ask God to answer our request, his duty's done when he answers. If we only ask God to answer our request our way, his duty is done when he answers. Period. You know, God's only obligated to hear you. He's not obligated to answer you. He only needs to say yes or no. By the way, God doesn't owe you any more than that, just so you know. But can I tell you something? He gave us one of those books right there to guide us. Some of us ask God questions, and he'll say, yes, no. And you're sitting there saying, why? And he's saying, read. There are times we ask things, and if we just read the Bible, we'd find out, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever get to that point in life? I guess I've lived long enough to have gotten there. So if you only ask God for what you want, he's only obligated to give you a yes, no answer, and his obligation is over and his duty is done. Number two, God may answer us how he thinks we should do it. It may not be the way he would do it, but he wants us to get to another level, so he'll tell us how he thinks we should do it. That's getting a little closer. You know, there are times that leaders, okay, those of you that work in the world, go to work tomorrow and ask your boss how he would do something and watch him have a heart attack. He's just glad if he can get the worker to show up to do anything. Let alone if he asked you how to do something. Boy, you're going to have a heart attack, aren't you? But those of you that lead other people, you know what I'm talking about. You know you've got people that couldn't do it exactly the way you do it. But you could get more out of them if they just ask you. You could help them at their level do something a little bit more. So God looks down and says, look, you might not be able to do it my way, but I can show you how to get a whole lot more done. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, as a leader, there are times you have to accept, now listen to this, many of you lead other people. There are times you have to accept lesser than what you would do. But you're getting more done because you have more people doing it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, I have Mrs. Barnes as my secretary. Do you know that Mrs. Barnes doesn't do everything exactly the way I would do it? Say why? Because she's a woman. I'm a man. We think different. But there's times she does it more efficiently and better than I do it too. There's areas I have an idea. Here you go. See what you can do with it. And comes back and I'm thinking, wow, that was better than my idea. Where'd that come from? There's other times I will accept lesser than what I would do. You say, why? Because I've got so many other things to do, I'd rather take 90% of it being exactly the way I want and 10% not, than for me to have to do all 100%. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So as you grow in leadership, you have to accept lesser under you. You Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers, you may not prepare your Sunday school lesson the way I would. But I can't teach all the Sunday school classes. So I'll accept what you do, whether it's the way I would do it or not. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I have never come to a Sunday school teacher and said, you have to do it this way. Say, why? Okay, Mrs. Eckert, don't lock me in that room with all those kids every week. I couldn't do it. You say, she'll ask me every once in a while for an idea, and I'll give her an idea, but then I'm running out of the room. Say, why? Teaching that age level. Not for very long. I might visit that class every once in a while and stir them up a little bit and get Miss K mad at me and walk out, amen? But I'm not as adept at doing that. I'm not asking you to do it the way I do it. But I can get more done with more people doing it. Boy, that's good stuff. That'll help you where you work, just so you know. God may answer you what you want. Turn to Psalm 106. Let me show you something. Lest you think I am speaking heresy, God puts the principle in the Word of God. Psalm 106, let's look at verse number 15. Bible says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. God gave them what they wanted, and when they got what they wanted, it wasn't what they wanted. Can I tell you something? Sometimes God will give you what you want because you bombard him so much, you're not going to leave him alone. And he says, okay, you can have it, but I'm telling you, it's not what you want. It wasn't wrong for you to have it, and it wasn't wrong for you to want it, but it wasn't the way God wanted it for you. You know, God won't force himself on you. Can I tell you what a good leader is? He's not one that runs around beating people over the head, making them do it his way. He gives them room to make some mistakes. Now, he's not going to let them do wrong, but he gives them that freedom to move. By the way, that's a good way to lead your employees. Many of you in here work with people under you. Don't force your way on anybody. I watched a couple of you when I talked about that story of Brother Hiles. You don't picture Brother Hiles saying, oh, don't do it my way. Those of you that saw Brother Hiles at a distance or only know of him as a memory or heard him preach on a tape or a CD or in a conference somewhere, you say, there ain't no way that tornado from Texas was that way in his leadership. Yes, he was. He would not force his way on anybody. Now, when it came to right and wrong, you didn't cross that line. Yes, he was that tough. I watched him throw a fit one day. The worst fit I ever saw him throw in a staff meeting was over, and this was years ago, it was over pirated computer programs on church machines. We had a 3.5-hour staff meeting. And Brother Hiles stood up, walked around the room. He picked up his chair, slammed it on the floor, and he said, I want it fixed by the end of the day. There were ladies in there weeping. It can't be done. You don't say that word to Brother Hiles. You don't say can't. He didn't know the difference between hardware, software, or underwear. I'm not kidding. He didn't know the difference in terminology. He had three different people interpreting computer technology to him, and none of the three were making sense to him. He said, what's it going to take? He said, y'all don't understand. That's my name at the top of the stationery. You're not going to jail. I am. Man, he threw a fit. He gave everybody a week. I think it ended up costing him about $70,000 because people had such old machines in there, they couldn't run legalized copies of programs on there, and they had to buy new computers, new software, all of it. I mean, he spent $70,000, and then he appointed people in the church, computer people. They came around and checked the computers every so often, make sure there was no pirated software on there. By the way, that's the way it'll be in this church. We have no pirated software. Say, why? I believe in keeping things legal and right in God's eyes. Say, how do you? Why would you do that? If you sat through that staff meeting, you would too. I'm afraid he'll kick the end of that mausoleum crypt out and come slap me upside the head. You're laughing. I'm not. I sat through that meeting. Now, wait a minute. That was a right-wrong issue. That was a legitimate legal issue. You have to understand, he had 545 employees ministry-wide. He was the second leading employer in Lake County, Indiana. There was only one hospital in the area that had more employees than First Baptist Church. You talk about being a target. It was on both sides of the chest, amen? Front and back. Everybody's shooting at him. He had to keep it above board because they were gunning for him. Can I tell you something? There was people that didn't see it eye to eye with him. It's okay. They won't check. He did. He didn't live by whether people were going to check up on right and wrong. You did right and didn't do wrong. Now, if it was your area of leadership, he wouldn't force his way on it. When it came to his name and his integrity, don't cross that line. Don't cross that line. Number three, everybody doing okay? This is where I want to get. Every answer to prayer gives you more potential for a closer walk with God to find out how he would do something. When you ask God how he would do something, you're not just asking, listen to this statement. God, what is your will for my life? Or, God, what is your will? See the difference? Jesus didn't say, what is your will for my life? He said, Father, as thou wilt. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said, God, I feel right now like I'm about to die before Calvary. I don't think I can make another step. I feel like I'm about to die. And if that's what you want, that's fine. But I'd like to make it to Calvary at least. That's what the plan was. But if you want me dying now, that's okay. What you want versus what I want. Have you ever been there? Are you willing to say to God, not my will, thine be done? Not what I want, but what you want. I think it was it Monday night? Must have been Monday night. Monday night, my phone rang. I looked down and the caller ID scared me to death. It was Dr. Wendell Evans. I looked at my wife and said, I got to take this. Thinking, oh no, what happened? What'd I do? And we began to talk for a while. Oh, I got to spend about 15, 20 minutes on the phone with him and just enjoyable. And man, Brother Ed, it's hard to believe he's going to be 79 years old. He said, Brother Bush, I heard you're pastoring. Yes, sir. He said, I didn't know you wanted to pastor. I said, I didn't. He started laughing. I started laughing. We talked about it a while. He said, so how's it going? I said, I'm going to borrow a statement from some great man that I know. I haven't had this much fun since the pigs ate my uncle. That's one of his statements. You could hear him literally slap his knee. And he starts that crazy cackle that he had. And he said, I'm glad you remembered the important things I said. He said, Brother Bush, isn't it funny how God works sometimes? What we thought we were going to do, we don't do. And the things we said we wouldn't do, we do. I said, that's the story of my life. He said, mine too. I'm almost 79 years old. Been that way all along. You're talking about a man that worked for Dr. Bob Jones Sr., man that worked for Dr. Lee Robertson, and man that worked for Dr. Jack Hiles. And here he is calling me. Say why? I don't know, but I enjoyed it. You know, God wants a relationship more than he wants anything. God made you to spend time with him. And the more time you spend with him, listen to this statement. The more time you spend with him, the more right you have to ask him questions. After 15, 20 minutes on the phone, he said, Brother Bush, how come you didn't call me before? I said, I feel a little awkward. He said, I've known you how long? I said, almost 30 years. He said, why would you feel awkward? He said, you're my friend. He said, now you call me. Okay, I'll call you. And please don't take this as arrogance, but I had earned enough of his respect by the relationship we had to spend more time with him. And the more time I'd spend with him, guess what? The more questions he lets me ask. I said, we just got a van in September. I started running it on Sunday mornings. He said, oh, that's good. He said, you be careful. I said, oh, don't worry. I said, in October, I started running it on Sunday night in a different area. I got two van routes out of one van. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. And I said, not going to be too long. I'm going to start running on Wednesday night in another area. He said, three routes on one vehicle? Three different areas? I said, yes, sir. He said, never heard anything like that. He said, closest to that I've heard was when I worked for Dr. Robertson. He said, Marlene and I had a route. Dr. Robertson wanted all the buses running Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Those bus kids were church members. They needed to be at church. Three services. He said, but we were running the same route, not three different ones. He said, I've never heard of any of our graduates doing that. He said, it's called necessity, Doc. He said, I love it. He said, can I borrow that as I travel the country and tell people about it? I said, that's fine. I said, I didn't do it for that. I just got to reach as many people as I can reach. He said, I love it. How come we didn't think about this? I said, I don't know. I didn't have to think about it before either. Guess what? God's going to use us. You know, there's times you got to rely on what God wants over what you want. Everybody look at me. I'm going to make a statement here, and some of you might not like this statement. There are a lot of churches out there, but not many of them are doing it God's way. Did you hear that statement? Yes, there are a lot of churches out there, but how many of them are doing it God's way? Just because it says church, just because it says Baptist, just because it says independent, just because it says fundamental, doesn't mean they're doing it right. You ask a Catholic priest, he'll tell you he's doing it God's way. No, he's not. You ask the local ministerial association what they're doing. Oh, yeah, we're doing it right. You know, God is with us. Anytime you got to call him God, it's not right. Sorry. Well, you don't know the deep things of God. You have been deep so long they covered you with dirt. It's called a grave, and you've been dried and dusty in there for a long time. You know, the more we spend time with Him, the more we learn to think like God. My wife and I have been married 24 and a half years. We can just about finish each other's statements. We learn how to think like each other. I know some of you have been married since Noah got off the ark. It's okay. You all think, you don't even say words. You just look at each other and do it. Okay? We're getting there, but I'm half as far, all right? You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? White hairs back in there and no hairs. Wait a minute. And that was the men, not the ladies, okay? Just get that straight right now. Mrs. Barnes is my secretary. She's been working for me now about 10 months or so. She's starting to learn how to think like me. That's scary. She'll tell you that. Shut up, Brother Barnes. I'm just glad she doesn't think like you. I don't need things wired. Now, wait a minute. There's times she'll say, now, Brother Bush, I think you would want this. I got this. I'm thinking, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. She's put herself in a position to learn to think like I think. Was it that way at first? What was that thing you brought me one day and I laughed my head off at you? What was that thing called? Something for the worship service. Order of worship service. I said, hold it. This ain't the Methodist church. And she said, I'll fix that. And she's still learning to call the auditorium and not a sanctuary. And we're getting better on that one. Amen. Wait a minute. You got to realize she's put herself in a place to learn to think like someone else at times when it comes to work. Say why? Because we get more done that way. She becomes more efficient. I become more efficient. She gets more work. I get less. No. Can I tell you something? It's a wonderful way to work. When you learn to, some of you are so frustrated with your boss because you're trying to make your boss think like you instead of you think like your boss. You would be less frustrated if you'd learn to think like your boss rather than try to make him see it your way. If he's the boss, I'll promise you, he has seen your side of it more than you have. There's a reason he's telling you no. You don't know how many times I've gone to the pastor that I worked for and said, I am convinced this will work. And I had one pastor look at me and said, I've done that 3 times. It failed all 3 times. You want to tell me it's going to work? No, it's not. I'm convinced I can make it work. He said, no, you won't. Guess what? After he showed me how his failed 3 times, I saw why it wouldn't work. But I was convinced I could make it work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you get mad at a boss that's already made the mistake you're about to make because he made it because he wouldn't listen to his boss. And guess what? You can't make it work either. You know, I want to be so close to God that I not only get permission, that I not only get what he thinks I should want, but that I learn to think like God. Let me ask you a question. When you pray, are you just asking for permission? Or are you only saying, God, this is what I want. Is it okay? And tell me how you want me to do this. But when you get to the point where you say, God, how would you do it? How do you want it? Exactly. Oh, I know I'm not perfect, but how would you do it? That only doesn't work in one thing, and that's preaching funerals. Because every funeral Jesus went to, the guy got up out of the grave. Don't do it the way he did it, all right? Doesn't work. But wait a minute. You watch how Jesus dealt with people and do it his way. Find out if it's not easier than your way. Say, but it's not natural. He was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. He didn't say it was easy, but he did it. Do you want your will? You want your way? Or do you want it his way? Not just how he wants you to do it, but do you want to do it his way? Wow. That's a whole lot different. When's the last time you said, God, how would you do this? Not just what do you want me to do, but how would you do it if you were here? Oh, that little prayer that I pray often every day. Lord, help me help the person you would help if they crossed your path today, and help me to help them your way. Whew. Boy, that's a whole different world. That takes some of the pressure out. And boy, do you learn to think like God then. Can I tell you something? When you start getting God to tell you how he's going to do it, the relationship gets real close. There's some people that will ask me, preacher, how would you do this? I won't tell them because I don't think they're strong enough to take it yet. I had an employee that worked for me at one time. It took me 18 months before I would correct that employee. 18 months, because I didn't feel like I had their heart. And the first time I felt like I had it, and they had crossed the line, they sat in my office, and I looked at them, and I said, it's taken me 18 months to get you to this point. I'm about to clean your plow, just so you know. And I cleaned it. And I cleaned it good. I got done. I had tears running down my face. They had tears running down their face. I stood to my feet and I said, you have just grown. I said, because up until X number of days ago, you'd have quit, walked out of my office, and left this church over that. I said, and the fact that you didn't shows me you've grown and you can handle this. Ended up being one of the most loyal, faithful people that ever worked with me. But it took 18 months. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to tie the knot more than once and choke. But they weren't ready for it. You know, from that moment on, the relationship was close, and they learned to think like I think. Say, why? Because I had to wait till they were ready to handle it. Maybe you're not ready because you don't have the relationship yet. Get that relationship going, and then you can ask God not just for permission, not just for how he wants it done, but how would you do it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How's your prayer life? How's your work relationship? How's your marriage? How's your relationship with your kids? Kids, how's your relationship with mama and daddy? Whole different level of asking questions, asking prayer requests to God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.